As you can tell from the banners on either side, we are this year focused on developing discipleship. And we have spoken a lot about discipleship in the course of this particular quarter so far. We're rapidly coming to the end of it. I can't believe that. I don't know if I like these themes or not, because it seems like if we don't have a quarter, it seems like now we focus on the months, and we've got 12 months. But if we have the quarters, then we only have four quarters, and it seems like they go by so fast. I mean, can you believe we're well into 2015? I mean, it's like, anyway, that's just one of, I guess that's an old man getting older, you know. Just, it seems like time is just, has this pair of flyers or his Skechers or whatever. It's running really, really fast. This morning, I want to call your attention, to the Beatitudes that our Lord laid out in Matthew chapter 5. Others have mentioned and talked in regard to the Beatitudes. This morning I want to follow suit and continue on. We've heard about the idea of how blessed it is to be poor in spirit, to be bankrupt so far as anything that I bring to the table. We've heard it's been said about mourning, the kind of feeling, the kind of deep pain, the deep sorrow we should feel in regard to sin. We've also been talked about being meek, power under control, being able to do that which God wants us to do, even though I have the power to do that which I want to do. We've been talking about how our appetite and our thirst are to be quenched, if you will, with righteousness. And last time we looked at this concept of mercy, both receiving, being the receptacle of mercy, and also to be the picture that pour forth out of our hearts mercy for one another. And I want you to know that this morning in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 8, it is truly to me one of the most challenging of the Beatitudes that Jesus gives. It is because in this particular Beatitude, something is said that goes against the grain of all that we have been talking about throughout Scripture. No man has ever seen God. No one has ever beheld the Father. And yet, this passage communicates to us that those that are blessed, when they have a pure heart, they shall see God. One of the things in preparation for the message, I began to see that each one of these Beatitudes have both a present possibility and a future reality. Everyone has a blessing in this life and a promise in the next life. Every one of these, Jesus gives a wonderful invitation, if you will, to come closer and to be blessed. What I find about this particular beatitude that is challenging, it seems that this beatitude requires all of the ones prior to it to be accomplished. You and I cannot have the purity of heart unless our spirits are bankrupt. You and I cannot have the purity of heart unless we see sin and mourn for sin like God does. You and I cannot have the purity of heart unless we are meek and in control of ourselves so far as our relationship to God and His will. You and I cannot have a purity of heart unless we hunger and unless we thirst after righteousness. You and I cannot have the purity of heart unless we are merciful to those that need mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. I'm told that that word, blessed, it comes from the Greek word that gives the idea of not happiness, but a state of blessedness, a state of tranquility, irregardless of what is going on outside. In fact, I'm told that the female version of this word was linked to the Isle of Cyprus. The Greeks looked at Cyprus as a beautiful island, an island that exists. There was peace and blessedness and tranquility. It didn't matter what was going on all around the world. If you were on Cyprus, oh, you were in a wonderful place. It's a state of being. It is not something that our English word brings out the idea of happiness being the idea of happenstance, by chance. No, if you get to the Isle of Cyprus, you're going to be blessed. The weather there is always about 75 degrees. There's always a nice breeze coming off the Mediterranean. There are no earthquakes or no storms. You get the idea. If you can just get to Cyprus, it doesn't matter what's going on all around the world, you're blessed to be on the Isle of Cyprus. And so if we have that pure heart, Jesus says we are on the Isle of Cyprus. The weather is fine. I remember Clyde Payton saying one time that he was in one of the, Caribbean cities on the beach, and he saw one of the guards there. And Clyde said he walked up to the guard, and he said, are you from here? And the guard said, police officer said, yes, I am. And Clyde said, how do you like living here? And the police officer said, it's all right. And Klein, who's from Lubbock, Texas, it's kind of out there in the great metropolis, as Patrick calls it. You might get a sandstorm, you might get a snowstorm, you might get a smell storm. When you get to Lubbock, I don't know about now, but they had those cotton gins, and boy, I didn't realize all the aroma that went into cotton, but it can get to your attention. It just depends on what day it is. But Klein pursued this particular young man, and he said, it's kind of okay just here. He said, yeah, it is. And Klein said, well, it's beautiful weather. I mean, it's about 70-something degrees, and there's a nice breeze coming off the ocean, and you get fruit and everything. And the guy said, I know. And Klein said, you can go down to the beach, and you can swim, and you can just lay out and relax. And the guy said, I know. And Klein looked puzzled, and the guy responded to him, said, that's why it's just okay. And Klein said, what do you mean? He said, because every day it's the same thing. Every day it's about 75 degrees. Every day there's a nice cool breeze coming off the Mediterranean. Every day you can lay out on the beach. Every day you can go swimming. It's the same all the time. It's the same all the time. Oh, that describes Cyprus. That describes this idea of blessedness. If we can just get to the Isle, if we can just make it to Cyprus, everything is going to be all right. Blessed, oh, are the pure in heart. The development of the pure heart, it is something that you and I must appreciate, because the pure heart just doesn't come. And the kind of pure heart we're talking about here is one that all dross has been removed. All iniquity, all blemishes have been taken out. That's why this is such a demanding beatitude. It's pure heart, free from contamination, free from personal agendas, free from my will, It's a pure heart. I thought of this and I thought of the lesson, and I remember growing up on the south side of Chicago when I was a little boy, and I remember going down to the corner drugstore one evening as an adolescent, and I remember I went down to get some chewing gum, but as I walked in, you know, at the drugstore at the Walgreens, they would have a little display counter, and in that display counter, there was a beautiful ring, a gold ring, had a diamond in it that would put the Hope Diamond to shame. It was there just as you walk out the door. And I saw that, and I'm not a big ring guy, a big jewelry guy, but I fell in love with that ring. And I determined that day that I'm going to get that ring. I'm going to buy it. And so I saved all of my, I didn't really have an allowance, but if I did anything, somebody would give me a quarter, dollar, whatever, I would save it. Because I was destined, determined to get that gold ring. Did I mention it had a big diamond in it? Weeks passed by. And as I began to collect funds for that gold diamond ring or diamond gold ring, I began to get a little anxious because I thought maybe I'm not the only one on the south side of Chicago that appreciate fine jewelry. So I got the concern because somebody else may be coming by that ring. So finally, after I saved all my money, pulled together all my resources, I hurriedly went down to the Walgreens on the corner, and I walked in, heart throbbing, because I know somebody else has bought that ring. But I looked, and there it was. And boy, joy just filled my heart. And I thought, all right. And so I went up to the counter, and the guy said, you know, you've been looking at this for a while. I said, yes, sir. He said, are you ready to buy it? I said, yes, sir. And I laid down $8.55. And I bought that ring that I mentioned was a gold ring. Did I mention it had a big old diamond in it? Now, I didn't realize, I hadn't preached this sermon then, I didn't realize this concept of purity. So I wore that ring and it looked good when I was wearing it. I mean, you asked me for a direction, I'll say it's over there. Like some of our sisters when they get engaged. Say, I heard you got engaged. Oh, yeah, you know, yeah, I kind of did. Yeah, yeah, we see your ring, sister, we see your ring. About a month, I didn't realize that pure gold turned green. And I didn't realize the Hope Diamond, when it falls out someplace, you lose hope. Jesus says, pure in heart is absent of all impurities, all blemishes. The dross has been removed. The contaminants have been taken out. The kind of heart that's going to allow us to see God must be pure, free of contaminants. How do I get this heart? How do I work on it? How do I, number one, develop a pure heart? How are you in your spirit? Are you walking around like a proud peacock? Are you walking around thinking you're the best thing since sliced bread? Are you walking around like you are God's gift to the universe? Or you're walking around like a legend in your own mind. Bankrupt spirit is a prerequisite to a pure heart. How do you feel about your sins and the sinful world in which we live? Are you mourning? If you don't mourn, the pure heart is not on the horizon. Are you meek? Are you bringing all parts of your world into captivity like our brother Paul did? Mourning, bankrupt, meek. How is your appetite? Are you hungry? Are you thirsty? Not for a salad or caviar or fish or chicken or steak. But are you hungry for righteousness? Does that float your boat? If I can just get a little nibble on righteousness, of rightness, if I can just sip of the cup of holiness, is it all right? We're talking about developing a pure heart. How are you in the mercy department? Is it one that I want mercy, God, but I'm like the Dead Sea. I'm just going to receive, but I'm not going to give. How are you in the mercy department? If we're going to develop this beatitude, if we're going to embrace this beatitude, the scriptures teaches us that first must come those prior beatitudes. If I'm going to develop the pure heart, how are these impurities removed? Just like Jesus would say prior to verse number 8, all these things must take place in our lives. Secondly, and here's something that's a challenge for us, and that is not only the development of the pure heart, but there is this dynamics of a pure heart. There are some interesting passages in the Bible. In Isaiah chapter 59 and verse number 2, we read it all the time. But you know, that scripture says that God's face is hid from us because of our sins. Your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you. So what that passage says, and this is in the Old Testament, and that is if iniquities are removed, then now I can see God's face. But as long as iniquities are there, scripture says, Isaiah in the Old Testament, God's face will be hid from us. So if I want to see God, I got to do something about my sin. I got to do something about my iniquities. Isaiah said, your sins is what has caused you not to see God's face. Psalm 15, verse number 12. Flip over there if you will. We got time. We got an hour already, right? I don't know if we gained an hour, lost an hour. It doesn't matter. Just turn to Psalm 15. It's too early to tell. Well, let's just read some scripture here. Psalm 15, verse number 12. Watch what our dear writer writes here in regard to seeing God. Who? David asks the Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? And David's response, if you want the dynamics of a pure heart, David says, the one that walketh uprightly, the one that worketh righteousness, the one that speaketh the truth in his heart. So watch these action words. Watch the dynamics here. One is walking. He's moving. He's in motion. He is or she is working, but they're working righteousness. They're talking, but they're talking the truth in their heart. Here is the dynamics, if you will, of being able to have this pure heart. It's not a stable situation. There must be ongoing activity if we're going to see God. Psalm 24, verse number 3 and 4, same concept here. If you have your Bibles, flip over there to Psalm chapter 24. Verses 3 and 4, watch what the writer says. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? Oh, he that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessings from the Lord and righteousness from God of his salvation. Oh, the writer says and helps us to understand this idea of the dynamics of a pure heart. It is about that ongoing activity that's in our souls, in our hearts. It is not just accomplishing something, but it is a dynamic, it is a process that continues on. I don't want to just see God's hind part and not see him ever again. No, I want to see God and see him every day of my life. That's what this beatitude is all about. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 22, a thought here. That's a challenging thought. In Hebrews chapter 10, if you have there, flip over there in your Bibles. Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 22. Our brother Paul writes in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 22. Paul, what do you have to say to us? Let us draw near with a true heart in fullness of faith, or full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Let us consider one another. Let us stimulate one another to love and to good works. Paul is helping us to see the dynamics of a pure heart. It is about a process, an activity that continues to go on. I want to see him. I want to be like Jacob. I want to wrestle him all through the night. And when the morning comes, I don't want to let him go until he blesses me. Oh, the blessedness of a pure heart. But the third concept here, not only developing the pure heart by fulfilling those prior beatitudes, not only the dynamics of a pure heart and that allowing it to go on and on and on, oh, there is the destiny of those with a pure heart. They shall see God. If I had the time, these beatitudes help us to see that every one of the beatitudes, they have a present blessing, but a future reality. Every one of them do. Blessed is the one that has that bankrupt spirit. What about that? What about that bankrupt spirit? You're blessed. But watch this. Theirs is the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. Is there a present tense for that? It's called the church. Those that are of this kind of bankrupt spirit, presently we are in the kingdom of God. We're translated into his wonderful kingdom. The Bible tells us that. But you and I both know that this is but a taste of what it's going to be like. One day Gabriel will rear back and blow that trumpet, and all the dead in Christ shall rise, and all of us will be meet in the air where we'll see our Lord and be with him forever, and we'll get those new bodies that will enable us to live in his presence forever. So this idea of the kingdom of heaven is here, but it is also there. What a beautiful destiny that you and I look forward to in these beatitudes. How about the mourning? Is there a way that right now we mourn? That right now you and I are going into this situation of hurting and pain. He promises now that we will be comforted. But is this the only comfort you and I look forward to? Am I just comforted now when trials and tribulations are in my life and all of a sudden somebody walk by and give me a soft pat on the back and say, be comforted? Is that the only comfort I'm going to get? Oh, no, there's going to come a time when all the weeping will be no more, when all the tears will be gone. We all have to go to a surgeon and have our tear ducts removed because we won't need them any longer. There'll be no more crying there, and we'll be comforted throughout the ages. Oh, the destiny of the pure in heart. How about the meek? There's a wonderful way in which the meek receives the earth today, inherit the earth today. It's amazing how no matter how hard we work, it seems like we get blessings when we don't even try. But you know, the time is coming. that the true children of God will inherit all the wonderfulness of God Almighty, the destiny of the pure in heart. How about hunger and thirsting after righteousness? Oh, for they shall be filled. Oh, we get an appetizer now. You and I are greatly encouraged when we pursue righteousness and when we have a day when all of a sudden we embrace holiness. And it's a wonderful time. But you know, the time is coming that we'll be in the presence of God and we'll be able to eat on the table of righteousness without ever overeating. That day is coming. How about the merciful? There shall obtain mercy. We have our sins washed away. We have received mercy already. We give and receive mercy from one another. But you know, one day, when we stand before the great I Am, there won't be any mercy like the mercy that will be extended to us as we issue into eternity with God Almighty. So there's a blessing here, and there's a blessing there. But how about this idea of seeing God? Can I see Him now? Ooh. Turn over to Romans chapter 1, familiar passage, but I think it opens up our understanding to some possibilities. Can I see God? Watch what Paul says about it as he writes to our brethren there in Rome. Verse number 20, for the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead or divinity, so that they are without excuse. You know what Paul just said? For the pure in heart, you and I can look at creation itself and see God. I remember, I think it was Richard Rogers said one time that somebody who didn't believe in God went to the Grand Canyon, and they were standing on, I think, the southern rim or the western rim, and they looked over into the Grand Canyon, and they were just absolutely overwhelmed. Now, they didn't believe in God, but they looked at the Grand Canyon, and they were asked, okay, do you believe in God now? And they said, well, I don't know, but I can tell you this. Something great happened here. God was walking one day, and all of a sudden, as He was looking at the Snake River, He stepped off into this thing that we call the Grand Canyon. And all the Grand Canyon is a footprint from God Almighty. When it rains, somebody said, I mean, when we were kids, when it was storming and lightning, and my mom used to say, y'all be quiet because God is at work. We couldn't move. We had, especially if it was lightning, you just sit and you just prayed because God is at work. How many of us look into the heavens and see the beautiful, beautiful skies? Had a participated in a wedding last evening, and all of a sudden a young lady who was from China. And all of a sudden, I asked her about what's different in living in Dallas and in China. She said, first thing I noticed when I got here, the sky is so blue. And that's interesting. Because in China, a lot of pollution, a lot of smog. You don't see the blue sky, you just see the haze. Like coming out of Bakersfield, out of L.A. one time, we were going up toward Bakersfield, and all of a sudden, I thought, well, when will the fog lift? But it wasn't a fog, it was smog. So here is someone from China that's appreciating the beauty of our blue sky, seeing God, seeing God. I think of Moses. As he goes through this, he sees the hinder part of God. I think of Stephen as he's being stoned, and he's able to witness Jesus, witnessing Him standing at the right hand of God. This idea of us seeing God, can you see Him? Can you appreciate who He is? Can you see with your eye of faith what God looks like? Oh, He's long-suffering. He's tender. He's merciful. Can others see God in us? Are we the reflectors of God Almighty? Can we understand? Can we help people to understand what God looks like when they see us? Jesus says, when you've seen Me, you've seen the Father. John will say, behold, the Lamb of God. Can we show others God by our very existence? The beauty of it is that we see God now. We see him now. We see that when we demonstrate love, when we demonstrate unfailing mercy, when we demonstrate this idea of mourning and feeling hurt for the sins of this world, our sins in the world, can you see God? But you know what the beauty of it is? There's a saying that you ain't seen nothing yet. One day, when Gabriel blows his horn, and you and I will get those new bodies that John talks about in 1 John that will enable us to dwell in the presence of God, we won't be totally surprised when we see him in reality, because we have already seen him before. Can you see him this morning? Can you see God? Can you see the blessedness of God every time the sun comes up? Can you see the blessedness of God of every time a mother loves her children and a father sacrifices for his family? Can you see God? This beatitude. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are those that have taken away the imperfections, the impurities. Can you see God this morning? And if you can see him now, it's just an invitation. It's just a prelude. It's just a preview of what it's going to be like when you and I get to heaven. Can you see him? Are you here this morning? This is a challenging parable. This is a challenging beatitude. This is a challenging statement by God Almighty. Pure in heart, the contaminants removed. The only way they can be removed. And we did a good job in putting the contaminants there. But it is God that can remove them. And out of a pure heart, because our sins have been washed away, truly we have the capacity to see God Almighty. Can you see his love? Can't you see his mercy? Can't you see his holiness? Can't you see his righteousness? Can't you see him in all the seasons that we have, the blue sky, the Grand Canyon? Can you not see him? Open up your eyes. As Jesus would say, the fields are white unto harvest, but you can see God. But I need to have a pure heart. How do I get that pure heart? Hear the wonderful news about a loving Savior that loves you so much and loves me so much that he went to the cross. Can you see God? Can you see God? He realizes that our iniquities have separated between us and him, and our sins have hid his face from us. He wants to remove our iniquities. Hear the gospel, believe it, repent of your sins, confess the great name. Yes, Jesus is the Christ. Go down trusting in the water grave of baptism. Allow his precious blood to wash all your sins away. Coming up with that pure heart and look toward the mountains. Can't you see him? Can't you see his holiness? Can't you see his righteousness? That's just a preview of what you're going to see in just a little while. If you're subject to heaven's invitation in any way, won't you please come or together stand and sing the song of invitation.